You're welcome back to part two of Religion Matters. This is Brenda Dunn with you until 9 o'clock this morning. If you want to get in touch, religionmatterskfm@gmail.com. Now, my next guest joins me this morning from Killaloe Diocese, and I have known him very well. He spent 16 years as a bishop of the Diocese of Killaloe, and I'm delighted that he joins me on the phone this morning to chat about his new memoir. Bishop Walsh, you're very welcome to Religion Matters.
Thank you, Brenda, and good morning to you.
Now, your book is out. It's called No Crusader. Congratulations on it. It's a beautiful publication. You did say, though, very early on that you had mixed feelings about writing the book. Why was that?
Well, I suppose, you know, that I was hesitant about doing it because I suppose I never pictured myself as somebody who was, you know, had sufficient excitement in life or that sort of thing to write a book. And I never really saw myself, even though I have written a certain amount of articles and that sort of thing over the years, I never saw myself really as somebody who should write a book about, you know, largely about, you know, one's own experience of life.
Yeah. And what changed your mind?
I'd say continuous persuasion the Columba Press,
yeah. People,
Michael Brennan. But I think also I had a close to death, I suppose, experience 2.5 years ago. It was very serious, and I was close to death, and I think that had a significant enough effect on me I reflected a lot about the experience and that, and I think that I would never have written the book without that experience. It did have a very strong effect on
you,
me.
Yeah. Of course, the most public part of your life, for those looking in, was when you were Bishop of Killaloe. And looking back on those 16 years, what are some of your fondest memories?
Some of my fondest memories, I think, support of people. You know, I always felt that during those 16 years that I did have a lot of support from the priests of our own diocese, and generally from support of the people as well. And I suppose the things that I enjoyed, I suppose, most was probably confirmation round. I did about 60 confirmations each year, and I found those gave me energy, even though they were energy draining as well. But I think it gave me energy, meeting people on these special occasions, meeting children, their parents, their grandparents. And gradually over the years, I noticed it developing into a whole extended family occasion and that. And I always thought that there was a great effort, of course, great preparation done by, well, in particular by teachers, but also by the local parish community.
Yeah. Now, you've left nothing out of your book. Well, I mean, I'm sure there's things that you've left out that you don't have to tell everything, but you've written very candidly about the church. I suppose the light and shade during your time. Was that important for you to share the good with the bad, the light and shade of your time as bishop?
Yes. I mean, the church has been very much part of my life since I was a child. In many ways, the church is my family, outside of my own specific family. But otherwise, the church has had an enormous influence on my life. And I suppose sometimes, people say that families can be dysfunctional, and they can indeed. And equally, the church family can be dysfunctional as well. But in some ways, it's the only wider family that I have. I see myself as very much as part of that family. I see the church very much as, the people of God, that all of us believers, all of us baptized, are part of that. And it has the wonderful qualities that a family have, and it equally has, you know, dysfunctions as well. So it's very much part of my life. And, you know, if I was writing about my experience of life, inevitably it was, most of it was going to be about my experience of church.
Okay. Now, you say in your memoir that you were worried about your capacity to be a bishop. Were you tempted to say no when that phone call or that meeting took place where it was this role as Bishop of Killaloe was put before you?
I certainly felt the need to be, you know, absolutely truthful with the nuncio when he indicated to me that, you know, that I had been designated, if you like, to be coadjutor Bishop of Killaloe. And I certainly felt the need to be honest that I did have, yes, I did have reservations in regard to, I suppose, some areas of church teaching, you know, in particular in relation to the area of sexuality and marriage, family planning, people in second unions, how we treated people of homosexual orientation. Those were the sort of things that I was worried about. And I suppose deeper down, I wondered too, was my faith, was it strong enough to, you know, to do that, to carry out the obligations or the responsibilities of a bishop. So there were certain reservations, yes. At the same time, I was aware that, that my name would have been mentioned quite often, particularly by fellow priests, and that I did feel, certainly, and the nuncio told me that the priests of the diocese wanted me to be their bishop. And I suppose that gave me the courage to agree to take on the task.
Yeah. And have you any regrets about your time spent as bishop, about those 16 years spent as a bishop, or indeed your earlier life as a priest? Because your ordination happened many years before you were made bishop,
yes.
Obviously.
Yeah. I suppose, you know, if one was that way inclined, one could count all the things that one could have done better. You know, and I would certainly say that I would have no difficulty in listing things which I feel I should have done better in the office of bishop. You know, for example, I think I would have probably have given more time to priests as individuals, but it was a very busy life, but overall, no, I have no regrets. In that sense, that I'm satisfied that I try to do my best in life, and that no matter who we are, we all have, there's things in all our lives that we might have done better, that we might have done more generously, that we might have tried to, I suppose, respond more and more to the invitation of Christ, particularly, I think, in the area of justice, I think, you know, that it's an area which I feel that we have been weak on in relation to church. And maybe that's because we ourselves live a relatively comfortable lifestyle, you know, and that at times bothers me, that we're part of that whole Western society, which has more than we need of the goods of the world, while the other half are on the brink of starvation. And, you know, I'd love to have tried to do more about that, you know. But at this stage of my life, I'm not into regrets. I'm happy that I did try to do my best.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we could all go around with regrets.
And lists, yes.
About life.
Bishop Walsh, what does a retired bishop do? I mean, are you still very involved in the life of the diocese, or are you firmly retired? Is your time each day ahead of you your own to do with what you wish?
Yeah. I have no office. I have no official office in the diocese now. I'm completely retired. But what I do, I'm always available to help out with if priests are on holidays or priests ill, and you know that most weekends, well, all weekends, I would do at least one public mass, you know, and often would be out in parishes where somebody is ill. Otherwise, I celebrate mass in the parish in Ennis here. And at times then, maybe over a period of a month or 2 months, or it has happened a bit longer, where it was, I filled in for a priest who was ill. I say a morning mass for the retired Sisters of Mercy here in Ennis. I celebrate mass with them each morning. Otherwise, I suppose I do a lot of things which I didn't have time to do when I was bishop. As I say, over the years since I retired, I have been doing a fair bit of writing. And
are you singing in a choir, Bishop, still? Are you still in the choir that you joined?
Oh, I am, yes. I'm still in the seniors' choir.
Very good.
That we meet every Tuesday night, and we have a number of public performances during the year. And I still play a bit of golf, although I've played very little since I was seriously ill.
And we're not going to ask you to disclose your handicap. We're not going to ask you to disclose your handicap.
I certainly don't find it hard to fill my day. And I'm finding retirement lovely, you know, provided one's health is reasonably good. I think it's a lovely experience. If one's health is good, you have time for friends, you know, which you didn't really have as a bishop, that you have time to talk to people, to visit people. And from that point of view, I am really, I'm really enjoying the retirement, I must say. And the whole lifting of responsibility, you know, that there is a freedom about it, which, you know, in my time as bishop, you know, it was a very pressured
time. Yeah, yeah,
work
it was,
and you know, there was a heavy responsibility, which, you know, it left you kind of always under a bit of pressure, trying to reach things, trying to respond to certain needs and so on. It's not for a moment. I enjoyed the 16 years of bishop, and I'm very happy that I had the privilege, and it was a privilege, a great privilege indeed. So from that point of view, I have no regrets about having spent 16 years as bishop. But equally, I was, you know, very happy to lay down the burden and, well, to pass on that to somebody who was younger in years and had more energy and brought a new approach to the task.
Well, it's wonderful to hear you sounding in such fine voice, and I hope that your retirement stretches well ahead of you into the future. The book is called No Crusader, and Bishop Willie Walsh, retired Bishop of Killaloe. It's available from Columba Press and in all good bookshops. It's been a pleasure to chat to you this morning, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much, Brenda.